It's time for a change. I will stand adamantly against the calls for new taxes. We are already paying enough. A vote for Ed Pace also means a vote for a staunch supporter of the Constitution, private property rights, and family values. So this November, vote Ed Pace for Spokane Valley City Council. This is Ed Pace. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee to elect Ed Pace.
Good morning, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to the Battlefront live from Spokane. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, and we can't end with prayer. We must also move to action, and as Scripture admonishes us, prepare your horse for battle. But the battle is the Lord's. And now from the front, your weekly intelligence briefing on the international front, following the steps of Cyprus, Poland, and actually Greece, Russia now seizes pension accounts that are non-state-owned. Actually seized them. $7.6 billion worth, apparently. And people all over the world are wondering, well, if it can happen in Russia, can it happen in the United States? Something to continue to watch as this unfolds, as governments clearly do not have enough money to meet all of the unfunded liabilities, not only in the United States, but throughout the world on the national front. So the government shut down and nothing really happened, except they tried to shut down open-air monuments and tried to keep veterans from visiting the monuments and memorials to their dead friends. And then, not only that, in New York City arrested them. But it gets better than that. They actually tried to shut down facilities that weren't even run by the federal government. This is an attempt, and this is has to be said very clearly. They are intentionally, the federal government, under the direct orders of President Obama, are intentionally shutting down things that are going to hurt people the most. In fact, a friend of mine's son from California at an Air Force base down there said that they were told not to receive a paycheck by their command. Who would ever tell somebody that in the military, unless you're trying to scare them? The bottom line is 83% of the federal government is actually still functioning because that money has already been set aside and has already been earmarked and set aside to pay for what is supposed to be priorities of government. Now, what we have found out through this shutdown is that there are a lot of agencies that probably don't need to be in operation at the federal level. There's a lot of waste, a lot of inefficiency. That's one of the things that we've learned. But how is making priorities of spending a bad thing? We finally had leaders do the right thing. After all these years, after all of the bugging, after all of the emails and letter writing and faxing, finally the leaders said, you know what, we've got to get our fiscal house in order. We can't continue to raise the debt ceiling. We're going to have to make the hard choices now. And they're actually doing it. That, to me, is responsible. To face and make the hard decisions now instead of mortgaging our children and our grandchildren's future. On the Olympia front, well, we had the listening session out at Central Valley High School. A great big thank you to everybody that showed up out there at Central Valley. We had a lot of great testimony. I posted a summary on Facebook of how everything turned out. But if you want to continue to weigh in, the best way to do that, to tell our legislature here in Washington State, you don't want a gas tax. You don't want especially a gas tax during a November special session, with the entire intent of that November special session being that they can raise gas taxes in a non-election year so people forget about it by the following November. If you want to weigh in, you can call Senator Curtis King at 360-786-7626. That's 360-786-7626, or you can email him at curtis.king@leg.wa.gov. So it's curtis.king@leg.wa.gov. I'll also post this online. That's who you need to talk to. That's who you need to send your comments to, that you don't want to see a gas tax increase, number one, and more importantly, you don't want to see another special session this year to do that gas tax increase. So those are the two numbers to call, and I think you have to weigh in on this issue. If you have not weighed in, you need to, because they really are not listening, not only in Washington, D.C., but as I just talked about, in Olympia. So let's talk about the listening session that happened out at Central Valley High School very quickly. So there were a lot of people that showed up out there. Approximately 68 people testified. And there were approximately 300 people in attendance. Those that were testifying for a gas tax increase were about 40 of those 68. Those testifying against were about 28. And of those testifying for a gas tax increase, local officials and government bureaucrats were 13 of that 40. So you're talking almost a third. Representing labor unions, 8. So you're talking over half were either government officials, government bureaucrats, or representing labor unions were testifying in favor of a gas tax increase. Actual citizens testifying in favor were about 21, over half. But the issue I think were the people that were testifying against. Only 4 local officials, Stevens County commissioners, Ponderay County commissioners, and 1 Lincoln County commissioner testified against. We also had a local city councilwoman, Nancy McLaughlin, testify against. But we had 24 citizens testify against. So if you're running the percentages, it clearly looks like the vast majority of citizens don't want this gas tax increase, even though they tried to stack the deck with local officials and government bureaucrats. In addition to that, it was relayed to us that day that small business, 62% of small businesses opposed a gas tax increase under any circumstance whatsoever. That was according to an NFIB internal survey. Now, NFIB is the largest small business organization in the country and in the state of Washington. So you literally have a vast majority, almost a supermajority, of small businesses testifying against a gas tax increase. The question now is, will the legislature and our governor listen to that? On the local front, the bikini barista debate has come to the forefront. The city of Spokane did not do the right thing and did not pass an ordinance fixing that problem. In fact, in Spokane Valley, they are looking to fix that problem. They went before the Spokane Valley City Council, and they got a much better reception than in the city of Spokane. They being the community group that has come together really overnight to fight the bikini barista issue. And I tell you, this is very interesting to me because my wife used to manage a coffee shop. How do they get away with this from a health standpoint? Doesn't seem to make sense. That's something also, if you need to weigh in on, we're going to be putting that on Facebook here over the next couple of weeks. And that this morning is the briefing. As far as preparation is concerned, this is your weekly preparation minute. What you can do to be a self-reliant American. We've talked about getting in shape, learning self-defense, learning how to shoot, preparing your family with 6 months of food, learning how to procure water, and getting the right equipment to do so. We also talked about medical supplies and dental emergency kits. And lastly, we're going to talk about sanitation, something that really kind of goes, I think, unmentioned in emergency preparedness. And emergencies do happen, like Mount St. Helens, like the snowstorms that shut down I-82 and I-90 here in Washington State a few years ago, and also in the 1990s. Sanitation's a big deal. So make sure you have some extra bleach, an actual pure bleach, and vinegar on hand. Those are 2 very simple substances to have on hand that can be used to sanitize virtually everything. Also make sure you have some extra laundry soap on hand, some Dawn dish soap, which can be used to do a lot of different things besides washing dishes. And last but not least, check out something called a breathing washer. It's about $14 to $19 depending on where you buy it. But it's a really neat tool that has a wood handle on it that allows you to wash your clothes in a 5-gallon bucket. It's been used overseas in a lot of third world countries to do that. And that this morning is your preparation minute. Well, we're going to be talking about an issue this morning that a lot of people don't know about that actually came to the forefront, came to light because of some whistleblowers here in Washington State that actually looked at an article put out by the Freedom Foundation that we reposted on Facebook and was subsequently taken down and censored by Facebook. Pretty incredible we had that happen, especially on something about whistleblowers and government. But this morning to talk about the issue is Scott Roberts. He is the Citizen Action Network Director for the Freedom Foundation. Scott, thanks for joining me on Battlefront this morning.
Thanks, Matt. And I'd like to just let all of your listeners know, thank you very much for being just a super representative for everybody out there in the 4th Legislative District, but also a great representative for everybody that loves freedom across Washington. So thanks for all that you're doing out there.
Well, Scott, thank you. And thank you for what the Freedom Foundation is doing. So whistleblowers bring this issue to light that electronic home monitoring really isn't doing what it's supposed to. And I'll just kind of leave it at that, let you kind of explain what the problem actually is and kind of how it came to the Freedom Foundation's attention and what we're doing about it right now.
Well, the way it did come, and Matt, and thank you so much, you're absolutely accurate. It was you helped post some information on Facebook. It was taken down. You let people know that it was taken down, and it went crazy. I mean, everybody started posting it because of that action. We got a call from a sheriff's detective who had recently been fired and was a whistleblower up in Whatcom County. What he did as a detective is he was investigating a commercial forklift theft, and he actually found the forklift, and he found the three criminals that did it. And as he was interviewing one of the criminals, one of the criminals said, "Hey, let's make a deal. I want to tell you about some problems with electronic home monitoring." And what happened, he told him about what was called in the criminal world time off the clock. And the detective was like, "You got to be kidding me. What is this time off the clock?" And he told him, and what it is criminals that were being put on electronic home monitoring and being monitored by certain unscrupulous private monitoring companies were allowing criminals to come and pay them for time off the clock. In other words, these private home monitoring companies would simply ignore the alerts that came in. So if they went out of range, if they wanted to go down to Taco Bell, if they wanted to go visit their girlfriends, if they wanted to violate the terms of the court-ordered agreement in any way, all they had to do was pay a little extra to the home monitoring company, and they were able to skip town. It was easy street. So if you were ever a convicted criminal, at least in Whatcom County, and you would want to beg for electronic home monitoring, these alternative-to-jail programs, and if you got on with certain companies, it was easy street for you. And So this sheriff's detective investigated that. He indeed uncovered this electronic home monitoring fraud. And the minute that he did that, his life changed. He was pushed out of the sheriff's out of the sheriff's department. A little bit of a tangential story, but that happened to him. And then he called us, and we started looking into it. And Matt, as I looked into the electronic home monitoring problem, I found everything that the sheriff's detective told us was true and more. There are stories from all over the country about problems with electronic home monitoring. First and foremost is electronic home monitoring produces a vast amount of alarms and alerts, this white noise of alerts. And you have to be fairly skilled to get through all of these alerts and determine what is actually a high-level alert that's something that needs to be responded to. And because of this white noise of alerts, criminals are able to do other crimes, such as in Colorado. Because of all these alerts, the Colorado Department of Corrections only responded to certain alerts. They missed 46 alerts with this guy, David Rentz, who went on to rape and kill a 10-year-old girl. But it's not limited to these highlight stories around the country. They're happening right here in Washington. And earlier this year in Clark County, Washington, a 13-year-old girl was raped and killed by a sex offender under electronic home monitoring under the watch of the Department of Corrections. They just didn't respond to alerts.
So let's break this down a little bit. How many counties actually privatize the electronic home monitoring here in Washington State that you know of?
All but one county that I know of right now. In fact, we called all 39 counties. The only one that definitely that we were able to for sure rule out was Thurston County. They do not use private home monitoring. They only do it through law enforcement. But the problem is, Matt, it depends on who you call. We called everybody. And if you talk to a probation office, or you talk to the prosecutor's office, or you talk to the sheriff's office, or you talk to the jail, you could get a different answer from every one of those departments within a county. There is no standard of practice within this industry.
So how is this determined? Is it determined through contracts that are made with local law enforcement or the local county?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because as Paul Murphy investigated this in Whatcom County, that these people were taking pay to let these criminals to ignore these alarms,